This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, which as always is kindly sponsored by the Sky Blue Tavern. I'm David and I'm joined this evening by Matt.
How are we doing? You're good?
Really well. Really, really well, actually. It's been a fantastic week, I guess, in the land of Sky Blues. Obviously, we couldn't ever go without anything happening off the pitch, which we'll cover a bit later on, Matt. But on the pitch, seemingly all going well.
Yeah, you can't complain. We obviously had, I guess, you wouldn't even call it a mini blip, but, you know, those two games last week where, you know, we didn't quite maybe get the points we'd expect against two, you know, newly promoted teams, but difficult teams to play against as well, and two teams that have done well this season. And you know, maybe there were a few people who are a little bit nervous on the back of those two games after what have been a great run, but obviously I think we've well and truly hopefully put that to bed over the last two games again.
Yeah, exactly. In this episode, we're obviously going to cover the emphatic wins against Blackburn and Watford, as well as preview Wigan, which is coming up on Tuesday night, and then the last fixture we'll have before the World Cup break, and that's QPR at home. So let's kick off around Tuesday, Blackburn Rovers. How was your feeling going into this one, given, like you said, the recent results?
Yeah, it was a bit of a tricky one to call, obviously, as we say, those two games previously against Rotherham and Blackpool hadn't been the best performances as well. You know, we were probably hoping to pick up at least 4 points from those two games. Didn't quite work out how we'd expected. And obviously we are still, we obviously had that hope, didn't we? That faint hope a few weeks ago that the squad was coming back together.
Yeah.
We were getting O'Hare, we were getting those injuries back into the squad. And then that's kind of completely gone out the window when we've had those illnesses and a few more injuries coming into the game as well. And you have to respect, I know there's been a bit of talk about Blackburn maybe not being quite the team that their league position suggests, which, you know, might be fair, but you still have to respect the fact that they have been up there
and
thereabouts the whole season.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't take that lightly. So it was what I saw being a tricky game going in, especially with that uncertainty around, you know, what our starting 11's going to look like at the moment, because there isn't really, I think that's been a common theme for us over the last few weeks. The common theme has been there has been no common theme in terms of the starting 11, which is really tricky. Think about when we got into Spal's good form over the last two seasons. It's really probably largely been down to that consistency with the sides.
Yeah.
And that really probably suggests or shows how impressive the form has been in recent weeks, because we haven't been able to have that consistency in our starting 11.
Yeah, you alluded to the sickness there, Matt, and McFadden seemingly was keen to play in good old McFadden fashion, but told that he probably shouldn't with a temperature. that meant that Michael Rose, Josh Eccles and Jokeres, after our strikeless 11 from the previous fixture, I think, came back into the fold. Obviously, McFadden a bit of a blow, but comfortable with that team. Eccles, possibly a worry going up against, probably one of the, or we're told, the players of the championship.
Yeah, it is. Still, you know, Eccles has shown some great moments for us this season. And obviously he's a player that we've had to lean on more because of the fact that we haven't really had the opportunity to bring in as many as we would have liked in the summer. And, you know, he certainly has had good moments this season, but he is also, we've still got to remember, a young player and somebody's got to find his feet at this level. So, yeah, certainly a concern there, a concern with, as you say, with missing Fads at the back. You know, he's one of those, kind of invokes that image of Terry Butcher just wanting to strap himself up and go back out in the second half kind of player. You'd assume he'd want to play, with an arm hanging off or whatever the circumstances. Yeah. But at a certain point, you know, the coaching staff have got to come in and save a player from himself. So, you know, obviously the right decision if he isn't well enough to play, but a concern for that back three. Obviously it was good seeing us have Gyökeres start again. You know, we had gone for that, you know, false nine, whatever you want to call it, option against Blackpool.
What did you make of that false nine?
I just think it was basically caused by the fact of injuries. You know, not so much injuries, but the illnesses that had obviously gone on that week. You know, I think people were surprised because they hadn't really heard too much about the illnesses that had obviously taken place, and I'm sure for good reason. But for the fans, it then came as a bit of a shock when you see we're starting without strikers. And I don't think it was a tactical, you know, moment of genius or whatever you might want to call it from Robbins trying to go in that game. No, exactly. It didn't work out that way if it was. But I just think it was forced upon us. You know, you looked at the bench as well. And, you know, I know we've obviously talked about the fact.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, even with Tavares not being on the bench, and you kind of think, well, he obviously isn't maybe ready to throw Tavares in as a striker at the moment to start games, but I'm sure he would have had more of an involvement in an extreme situation like that if the option would have been there. So I think it was forced upon us, and obviously it was good to see Gyökeres back, because one of the obviously massively positive things for us is the fact that while we have got a lot of striker injuries at the moment, Gyökeres is, for me, probably the best striker in the league to play by himself up front and lead that line, cause, you know, 2-3 defenders problems by himself and bring players into the fold. We're obviously seeing, you know, in particular, Jamie Allen score goals at the minute. I think a lot of that will be down to the opportunities that are being created by
And him occupying space and
exactly.
players.
Yeah, he does it so
takes
well.
Takes other players out of the game, doesn't he? And they do generally have to have two up against him.
I think you see how highly rated he is amongst championship managers. I think they are accounting for his presence a lot in their tactics, in their team sheets. And it obviously is going to create space around the pitch, let alone from what he actually does on the pitch as well. So fantastic to see him back. Obviously that's a massive thing for us. Another one, obviously maybe a bit harsh on Palmer to not start after having some really bright moments in the Blackpool game himself. But yeah, an interesting one again from the perspective of the starting lineup.
Yeah, it was not known actually, was it? We haven't talked about that, and we will touch on it a bit later on. But again, it seemed that the club had to come out and say that this fixture will actually go ahead at the CBS, which was, you know, is great, isn't it? Weekly updates of whether you can play or not at the ground that you've got a 10-year contract and lease on. But thus is the merry-go-round that is Coventry City Football Club and the CBS Arena. Kicking off though, it was great, wasn't it? We started really brightly, not to, you know, we didn't look shell-shocked perhaps that we were against likes of Burnley. I thought against Burnley we looked quite negative, but not at all here. We had Gyökeres who had a parried effort and then again from a corner which looked like perhaps a high foot or a tug back, and you know, we've seen penalties like that given in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it realistically, it was a penalty. There's a definite tug back, whether you want to say if Gyökeres has maybe made the most of it or not. I think it's one of those you kind of hoping to lean on It's an linesman or referee's assistant, however you want to say it. Because looking at the ref's position, you can understand maybe why it's quite difficult for him to see. He's on the edge of the box. He's got a few people that he's going to have to see through to be able to see the incident. And he's the wrong side of Gyökeres as well. So I can kind of understand it from the referee's perspective, but it's one of those that looks, you know, the camera angle where you're looking at it, it should be roughly where the assistant is looking at it as well. And you're kind of thinking it's quite obvious from that side of the pitch. So disappointing that he hasn't seen it, because I think ultimately it's, it is a penalty, whatever way you look at it. It's a clear pullback, and it's a penalty. It's one of those you probably don't want to give, because it's a bit of a silly one to give away, but, you know, realistically it is a penalty.
Yeah, and we'll obviously go on to it, but interestingly enough, seemingly, you know, quite a rash decision to make a red card, you know, which almost contradicts what we're saying there about him. Do you know what I mean? If he's making rash decisions like that. But, you know, as the game goes on, I guess maybe he got more, he grew in confidence and got got more braver. But we switched off in the defence once or twice, which, you know, we're going to talk about all the games, but now... Eight clean sheets in 11? Is that correct? And I just think, you know, it's for what looks like a very young, fairly new, yes, you've got the regular stalwart there of McFadden, but for a fairly young and new put together sort of centre back and back five partnership, it's pretty impressive, isn't it?
It's staggering, to be honest with you, if you think about you know, maybe some of the uncertainty that we've had over the recent weeks. If you'd gone back to, you know, before, I think it was that Luton game was the last time we conceded a goal away from home, which again in itself is quite staggering. And if you'd at that point of the season said we would be talking about, you know, going five games in a row away from home without conceding, and as you say, overall 8 out of 11 clean sheets, at that point, there's absolutely no way I would have believed that. And again, you've had that instability in defence as well with the fact of...
The illnesses,
exactly, the illnesses have affected the back line. You know, Dabo's been injured as well, so we've had to bring people in. On both sides, we've obviously seen Burrows, and I know we'll go on to the Watford game a bit later on, but we've seen him have to come in as well. And now, obviously, Eccles is kind of starting regularly. And you'd kind of said from that Luton game, if you'd kind of said what would have happened in terms of the illnesses and the injuries as well over the last few weeks, you'd have thought, God, surely it would have been a massacre at the back, but completely the opposite. And it's been a fantastic turnaround from that defence.
Yeah, you spoke there about Eccles, and obviously we got the breakthrough on the night through him, really. He beat his man, cross low, and captain on the night, Jamie Allen, popped it in the net. Great from Eccles to start off with. And then Allen, how much has he impressed you this season? And did you see him perhaps stepping up? We've always known what you're going to get with Jamie Allen. I think I'll put my head on the block and say I've not always been his biggest fan, but you've got to say that he's he's totally, you know, took it to another level again this season. Mm-hmm. You're getting both that consistency and tenacity, but also now these moments of quality.
Yeah, he's one of those players. I remember a pod last season kind of saying when we were struggling for goals, maybe, and you know, that those moments where Gyökeres and Godden weren't you know, maybe scoring as many as they had done throughout the season. And we were really struggling at that point because we weren't getting any goals out of midfield. And we were kind of, I remember talking about it, and we were looking at where we thought those goals might come in. And Allen was the one that I'd kind of said, I do see him having the ability to finish an opportunity when it comes his way, but he just wasn't seemingly showing it at that point because there were opportunities coming his way and he was struggling, as was O'Hare obviously at the time, and maybe Hamer as well was scoring goals. So it's fantastic to see him get these goals now, because he is always a midfielder that he knows going to he's going to work hard, he's going to break up play, he's got that engine, so you know he can get up and down the pitch. I think I saw one of the Watford fans describe him positively as a rat on Twitter this weekend after the game because of his performance. And again, they were trying to make it sound positive because he's just got that engine. He gets around, he makes himself a nuisance, he breaks up play, and And obviously now, if you can add goals to that, it's it makes him undroppable in that midfield area. So even, you know, again, we've talked about the fact that we've lost Liam Kelly. You know, there's no way at the moment, even if Kelly was fit and healthy, he could be taking the place of Allen. And the other side, you talk about, obviously, the fact that we've got O'Hare back and we've got Palmer looking really, looking quality when he plays as well. But again, Allen is kind of saying, you can't drop me. So you've kind of...
Yeah. He got the captain's armband as well, exactly. Which is always a good, you know, a big sign, isn't it?
Yeah, it shows the confidence that we've got in him. So you're kind of at a point now where you say, it's probably Sheaf and Allen who are saying in that midfield, they're the ones who are making themselves undroppable realistically. Yeah. So fantastic for him to see, for him to get the goals to back up the other qualities that he brings to the game. And just obviously following up, you mentioned about Eccles. I think the thing that really stood out for me with the goal, he actually, ball comes out wide to him. You see him shape up to cross first time, which absolutely was not the right thing to do. There were seven Blackburn defenders against, I think, Allen and maybe Gokeres, obviously, in the box. It would have just been one of those moments. Again, you throw the ball into the box and it probably gets cleared. And I was actually really impressed to see him have that moment of composure to look up, see that it's not the right moment to cross the ball, take a touch, get a little bit closer to the byline and actually thread a pass into a player. And still, when he plays the ball, there aren't really too many other options still from a Coventry perspective in the box, but he actually threads the ball across the defence. Maybe it takes a little deflection as well, but I don't think it changes the path of the cross and finds the run of Allen. So really good finish from Allen still, but really impressed with what Eccles did there in terms of the setup play.
Yes, it's a great finish, and I just don't think they're expecting runners like that to be coming through. They just seem quite frozen and quite fixed, Blackburn in defence at times. Wilson called into action a few times as well. Obviously keeping clean sheets for fun. Do you think the confidence levels amongst the sort of SBA, the supporters, have grown in recent weeks? I mean, they had to have, really.
They have to, yeah. As you say, alongside the defence, obviously it's not all down to him, but there can't be, you can't come off the back of five consecutive away clean sheets and eight clean sheets out of 11 overall and say, you haven't got a quality goalkeeper on your hands there. And as you say, there were plenty of people who maybe didn't have that full level of confidence in him. And I could probably put my hand up and admit to being a little bit concerned when Moore went out after those, three first games where obviously he made those three mistakes. I'm a massive fan of Moore. I think I made him my player of the season last season. I thought he was so important for us. And I just looked at Wilson as a really good backup championship goalkeeper, but yeah. I would have concerns about him being a starter in the championship. And, I can put my hands up and say that's completely gone out the window. Obviously, we've seen a couple of moments from him over the last few weeks where maybe it hasn't been the best, but you take those into consideration across, the last 11 games and beyond that he has played, and you think, well, realistically, what he's done well has massively outweighed those issues. We can see to hear what you thought, because obviously you say, the fans, there maybe was that little bit of a lack of confidence, but I know we've always on this channel been quite big supporters of Wilson, haven't we?
Yeah, financially, I guess, as we sponsor him. But I think also Mark Robbins came out, didn't he, interestingly enough, and said that he'd done a lot of work with Alid that he'd put into practice, and he was really pleased to see that. So they were obviously having conversations around maybe commanding of the box and other parts. I think there's still some way to go in terms of distribution. I know a lot will feel the same. But from a shot-stopping point of view, he turned a few around the post yesterday. I definitely think he's commanding his box a lot better. And, you can't keep chopping and changing a goalkeeper, because your back three or, five need to know that they can turn around and roll that ball back and that they've got that solidness behind them. So Mark Robbins has done the right thing to keep sticking by him. And I think, he's proved it, and he's. I agree. I always still have those little reservations about him coming to claim balls sometimes. Yeah. But in recent weeks, what he has shown is he's very, very quick off his line. I think he was unlucky. The one where it sort of clipped him and they went round. I think some people were saying that he was at fault for some of the goals, maybe positionally. But
yeah,
he's been off his line really quick. He's been smothering balls. He's probably the best keeper I've ever seen at wasting time. and although he picks up a booking, probably, you know, he was, if we ever go 1-0 up, he's probably a shoo-in for an in-play bet. Of
he comes into his own in those situations,
yeah,
doesn't he?
He does, yeah. And he did again yesterday. But no, you know, he offers a lot, you know, both on the pitch and you can tell that his attitude and his sort of general how he is also a great lift in the changing rooms. And I think it's great that he can play a role now that's, you know, a full playing role, whereas we sort of heard before that he was the sort of, you know, bit of a class clown, I guess, in the changing rooms and there as a sort of morale booster, if that makes sense. So it's nice to be able to see that him actually supporting the team, you know, on the pitch and that.
Yeah,
Jamie Allen had... Sorry, go on.
No, yeah, I completely agree. I think we would all see it in social media as well. He was always kind of showcasing that... that cheeky side to his personality. That, I guess, that's maybe another thing as well in the back of my head, which, you know, obviously it's nice to see, and you like to see the players who have got that personality in the change room, but also with a goalkeeper, you see it sometimes, they've got that little kind of that side to them, that little mad side to them, and you kind of worry, even though, you know, we've seen on many occasions his shot stopping ability, you do worry then, is he going to, you know, maybe be a little bit eccentric and a little bit all over the place with the technical side of things and with doing the basics. But as you say, there's still work to be done there, but he's certainly improving, which, you know, if he can nail that down completely, then he's going to be a fantastic keeper in the future.
Yeah, and a great, you know, it's probably the position that I feel like we've got a lot, you know, most depth in, especially probably at this moment in time, really. You know, you don't know how more react to obviously his first couple of games, but you'd like to think now there's enough, more than enough time that's gone past, if that makes sense, so that if that does mean that he has to come in at some point, that he'll be fully ready. Just to go back, you know, back to the game, Jamie Allen had a chance, didn't he, right sort of at the death. And he was denied. Probably didn't need to take a touch. Probably, you know, first time maybe someone like Godden or something would have probably took that first time. But like you say, it's great that it was probably his engine that got him there and got him in the position to actually, you know, have a chance in the first place. But what we did see from that break was Vic, and the way that he offers us that ball carrying ability where he holds it up, turns a man, and he just seems to just steamroll into towards the box and you know, picking a pass, which he doesn't always do, but he has started to do that a little bit more.
Yeah, we probably saw in that moment, you know, 80 to 90% of everything that Gyökeres offers, and is so good at, and is why he's so highly rated and why he's getting so much praise across the league from you know, opposition managers, opposition fans. We saw a lot of that evidenced in that one move, because he's obviously quick to react to a slightly bad touch from a Blackburn player. He shows great pace to get there, to nick the ball away. He shows good strength to obviously hold the Blackburn player off. Technical ability to be able to run at the ball with pace, taking it from inside our own half right to the box. And then that composure to look up, as you say, that may, you know, maybe in previous seasons as well, this is an area where he's developed, because you probably would be thinking he'd take a shot on there, but he does have that composure to look up, sees that somebody's in a better position. And then again, the technical ability to find the pass across to Allen. And it was one of those, you know, one of those passages of play where you see he's really shown there why he is so highly rated, why he's, you know, one of the best strikers we've had at this club for a number of years, even since we've had some really good strikers in the even 20, 21 years since we've been outside of the Premier League. When you think of some of the names of strikers that have, you know, graced our side and gone on to do bigger and better things, maybe, or, you know, now playing Premier League football, and And he's right up there for me at the minute in terms of kind of what he's doing and showing what he can do on a football field. And, you know, he's got a decent number of goals. He hasn't blown as away maybe as he did the same point last season with the number of goals that he's got. But I think because of what he's done in the past, it's not, you always have that thing with strikers where it's got to be, you know, when they're first in your club, you want to see him score 10, 15, 20 goals within their first 20 games of the season. And kind of, he's done enough now to kind of, you know, he doesn't need to blow us away with goals for us to say what a good player he is. It's not all about goals with his game. And obviously he's still scoring enough goals to not face that criticism on that side of the pitch, but he's earned himself that opportunity to, you know, have people really appreciate what else he does other than scoring goals. So when you have a game like Blackburn where we win, you know, 1-0 and he's not the person who's scoring goals, you can still come away from it and say, what a fantastic performance, what an amazing, you know, asset to have at the club in terms of what he can offer us as a lone striker and the problems that he causes those defenders. And yeah, I think largely that was evidenced in that one passage of play. And as you say, probably agree, you know, for the praise that we've given Alan, he probably could take that on first time and maybe it puts the game to bed, but no, fantastic bit of play from Gyökeres, as we say.
So, you know, a great result, Matt, at home. You know, I think a lot of people going into that, perhaps after the fixtures before, were quite worried, but, you know, came through it, an absolutely incredible performance, really. Three important points. Who was your man of the match on the night?
I think there were quite a few people who you could say were up there. I'd probably, the two that I would have put it between, would have been Alan and Sheaf for me. Alan, again, showing that engine, kind of getting around the pitch, you know, making those runs into the box, but breaking up play. But I probably would just nudge it towards Sheaf for this one, just for his all-round game. Again, I think people are really this season, especially starting to see that quality he brings to the side with his ability on the ball, but also what he does outside of that. And we're talking a lot about, obviously, you know, these clean sheets. And I think Sheaf is almost as important as anybody else in regards to those clean sheets, because, you know, he's really doing such a good job of stewarding that back line and obviously breaking up play before it gets to that final level of defence. So I think that was evidenced as much in this game as we've probably seen all season so far. And again, great moments of quality when he gets his foot on the ball as well, which is a bonus. So I'd probably just lean it towards Sheaf.
Absolutely agree with Sheaf this season. He's been absolutely incredible. I think he seems to have more confidence on the ball now. I think a lot of the times it felt that he used to rush things. He didn't always want to hold on to the ball, but now he does carry it. And you twin that with the fact that he reads the game just absolutely, you know, as good as anyone on the pitch. And he breaks the balls down. And like you say, he's almost a one man. That's not to take away from Alan would do, and even Palmer defensively, but he's kind of like a one man, you know, you only really do have one defensive midfielder, but he does give you a bit of an all-rounded game. So I agree. I think she's been absolutely incredible and was against Blackburn. For me, I'd probably say Panzo on the night. He was just, I think he was phenomenal, really. He's grown into, you know, I had the reservations about some of his distribution, especially at Sunderland. There was a couple of times he gave the ball away, and that was an early, you know, early game. It was the first game of the season, wasn't it? but yeah, it was, for me, a bit worrying, but you couldn't doubt his sort of defensive ability. He read the game well, you know, tall, got to headers, very quick, very athletic, just his distribution. But even that seems to have improved. And I think on the night he was absolutely fantastic. And it, who knows? I don't think it's someone that we're going to be able to get on a long-term deal. But then again, is he ever going to be ready, or in Nottingham Forest's eye, ready for the Premiership? Probably not. So who knows? There might be a chance of him leaving and us being the first ones that can snap him up. But I thought he was great. Agree with Sheaf. I thought Hamer, until he got injured, was great again. He's always himself. He almost goes under the radar now, because you know what you're going to get with Gus. But yeah, for me, Panzo, and for yourself, Ben Sheaf.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Sky Blues travelled to Vicarage Road on Saturday to take on the newly relegated Watford. I think everyone was a little bit worried going into this game, regardless any sort of new relegated from the Premiership, Matt. But they've not, you know, they've not achieved massive things this season. And perhaps there was a glimmer of hope going into the game. What did you think?
Yeah, I think it's been similar for all of the relegated sides. None of them have really, obviously, I know Burnley are sitting at the top of the table, but I don't think any of them have really, kind of shown that they're 100% necessarily going to go straight back up. And I certainly would agree with that for Watford. They've been very up and down. There's been patches of good spells. I know they came into this game on the back of three wins, but then they've also had periods of, you know, two, three games of, where they haven't won. And I don't
think
Norwich,
away to Millwall, you know,
exactly.
When we've played Millwall, that shows a few signs, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Defensively, they looked, you know, especially in that first half, I think it was 3-0 at half time in that game. And Millwall have pretty much just cruised in from there. And it was defensively really quite a poor performance. They're just one of those teams that it just doesn't, I don't know. They've obviously got really talented players there, but it just doesn't look like they 100% completely gel. So you kind of think that there are certainly going to be opportunities. Having said that, I was concerned going into this game because of the fact that they do have, you know, those fantastic players of real quality in there. And it may be a little bit of a different prospect to us. You know, we've played a few games against teams who maybe are a bit more direct, maybe have a bit more of a, you know, a target man approach to, you know, to how they approach the game. And Watford are completely different. They generally will have those three attacking midfielders running at a back line. You kind of think it was going to be important for Sheaf to have a good game, but they're also going to be, you know, moments where obviously they're going to have really talented ball playing attacking midfielders run at that back line. You thought that's probably not Fads' most, I don't know, it's not the area where he generally shines as a defender. You kind of like that. And maybe the likes of Panzo and Rose as well, you know, if we can keep the ball in front of them and obviously deal with things that way, that's probably where they're in their element. So there were certainly areas of concern, but definitely, as you say, an opportunity for a side that have come down from the Premier League, but maybe aren't, certainly aren't guaranteed to go straight back up.
Yeah, I agree. I was looking at Twitter back and one of their fans said, I think their tweet said, back to our lacklustre selves, although thought Coventry were excellent, just proves a well-organised team who want to win a game will always beat a team of superstars who can't be bothered. A bit unfair, I think, but at the same time, it did kind of have that air of it, you know, where it was just going to be that a team would just outgun another team through sheer effort, determination, want to win. And they are, you know, they are a team of superstars that would have been used to playing, you know, the likes of Ronaldo and that sort of, you know, now sort of back in the Championship. Felt yesterday, like a few of them just didn't want it. Do you know what I mean? As much as, you know, they wouldn't always chase down balls, they were happy for us to have the ball at times, I think. And we were, you know, other teams perhaps aren't confident enough to put their foot on the ball, whereas we are. And by backing off, it actually, you know, gave us lots of time.
I think one of the things that probably, you know, at the start of the season for sure as well, maybe there was a little element of arrogance from certain players within their ranks who thought, what am I doing playing in Championship at Championship level? You know, maybe thought they were above this level and maybe that led
to some. We're looking for ways out. I think some people thought that they would be come and got. You'd have to say, I mean, you know, I'd probably rule him out. He didn't look like it yesterday. But Sarr, you know, I think a lot of people would have thought that people would have come and rescued him almost. And you could say the same for a few others, couldn't you?
But you look at Sarr and you kind of, again, you think about certain players there. Sarr's been there for, I think he has been there for four seasons now, gone through a couple of relegations and stayed there in the Championship as well. So maybe it does show you sometimes. We look at these players who play in the Premier League and we kind of think they are superstars on that basis. But then, you know, this is now two relegations, two seasons. Again, he's into a second season in the Championship. So he's gone through a few windows as a Championship player now where I'm sure probably there's interest in him, but yeah, there hasn't been enough interest to kind of say, well, we're willing to pay whatever it is that Watford might have wanted to kind of, you know, pull him away from their side. So, you know, maybe there is that element with some of these players. I think they were certainly towards the start of the season, maybe there was a bit of overconfidence, maybe thinking, you know, they shouldn't be playing at this level. But it seemed as if they'd turned the corner a little bit under Bilic, and you kind of think he's the kind of manager who, I think, you know, their fans were quite pleased to see him come in, because he's the kind of manager you kind of think is going to come in and he's not going to accept that from his players.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
kind of going to say, if he's got anybody with that attitude, then it's either going to be knocked out of them very quickly or they're going to be out of the side, and he'll bring in the players who are obviously, you know, up for the battle of where they are, not where they expect to be. So that's probably what concerned me, because since he's come in, certainly the form has turned around. They had won the previous three games coming into this one. And I thought maybe in some areas where they would have been earlier in the season a little bit more overconfident, that seems to have gone from their side. But yeah, it didn't work out too bad in the end, did it?
Exactly. And three changes from Robbins. Fads back in. Mm-hmm. Probably still unwell, but, you know, probably wouldn't take no for an answer. So he lined up. Nice to see Casey Palmer back in the fold. But obviously the biggest surprise for everyone was Burrows, who, as we said, I think everyone was a little bit worried about how he'd perhaps be against Saar. But interestingly, why did you think Robbins made that decision? Do you think perhaps Bidwell was unwell? Or do you think it was a tactical?
I think there must have been something bigger for him to make that decision in this game, to be honest with you, because while I'm sure he's got confidence in all of his players and those young players, you would have felt this didn't feel like the right game to have him thrown in from the start, for sure. And Bidwell has performed well this season. He is obviously an experienced player. You kind of think... you would really wanted to have leaned on that in a game against, obviously, a side that has been relegated from the Premier League and obviously does have that quality and a few big names in there. So I think there's obviously probably something there. I know that Robbins, obviously, he will say that he is keen to rest players who have gone through a lot of games. And I know that we obviously have gone through a lot of games recently and very quick turnarounds, you know, Tuesday, Saturday or Wednesday, Saturday, pretty much every week for the last month, pretty much. So I'm sure he is obviously keen to take any opportunities that he sees to give players a rest and obviously have them you know, back to full fitness for another stretch of games. But I just don't think he would have done that in that situation had it not been for maybe something else going on behind the scenes personally. I don't know how you feel, but yeah, I think there might have been something a bit more behind that decision.
Yeah, I'm desperately scrolling through to try and see if I can see any inkling or reason why.
Yeah, I haven't seen, that's the thing.
He's not come back out and said, oh, you know, he sat in for us and did, you know, and was asked to do a job. But obviously he found out Friday that he was going to be in the squad. So it wasn't like a last-minute admission.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It wasn't as if someone had gone down in the warm-up
or anything
like that. So... yeah, I don't know. I can only, I don't know really. But I suppose it doesn't really matter. I think we'll probably talk about it more. But what's got to be said is he was phenomenal. He was absolutely incredible. And perhaps, you know, you could argue that he was the right, you know, the pace, because he did have, I can't remember the chap that he was up against, but he also then had Saar when he moved over to the right hand side. It was just, you know, his pace and, you know, his concentration on the job. He nullified a lot of what came down both wings, really. And it's got to be said that it's great. You know, there we all are wishing really for someone to to go into, you know, to come out of the transfer market, I think, wasn't we? For that depth and for that backup. And, you know, who knew that we had someone that was...
Had it all along.
All along, yeah, right under our own noses. But when you think back around wing-backs, I was going to ask you this before we go on and continue about Watford, is where do you sort of rank our wing-backs in perhaps the last couple of years that we've had with who we've got at the moment? And it's a bit of a curveball, I guess, but we've obviously had McCallum. We've had Ryan Giles. We had Da Costa. We've got the current sort of group. Where would like a sort of Jack Burrows sort of feature for you, I guess? We could only really talk about, I suppose, his display yesterday, but where does, you know, in terms of like inspiring confidence stuff, where does he kind of fit? Does he sort of match a sort of Bidwell, or would you still, you know, if you were writing a team sheet, be sort of in that camp?
Yeah. Well, as you say, we probably can only go on the Watford game. If we go off that, then he's pretty much the top of the bunch that we've had over the last few years. But I don't know. I mean, it's one of those, you kind of, if you look at where we've been the last few seasons, you obviously, for us as a club coming kind of back up to the championship level, you're always looking for those incremental increases. You're looking for those incremental improvements across the pitch. And we've probably certainly seen it on certain areas of the pitch. And you could probably say the wing backs maybe aren't an area where we have massively improved overall. You know, you think, as you say, you mentioned some of the names that we've had over recent years, and we probably haven't massively stepped forward in terms of saying, you know, we've nailed down that position in terms of kind of strength in depth. So there's a slight worry there, but obviously where there's an opportunity, and one of the things that is important for us, something that we've obviously leaned on heavily over the last few years, is bringing young players through. And we've done really well, probably from a financial point of view more than anything, in bringing young players through, always having that crop of, you know, 2-3 players who you really look at and think, you know, they're going to hopefully have a good few years for us, but probably realistically also going to bring in a decent transfer fee and give us that opportunity to, you know, maybe sign 2 or 3 players on the back of what we get for them. So yeah, it's probably a little bit frustrating that we maybe haven't progressed as much as we have in other areas of the pitch as we have at fullback. But then you are starting to look at it now and you think it's actually an exciting opportunity, because Eccles has started to, you know, look really like a solid championship player. And now Burrows is obviously coming against what should still be one of the top teams in the division and looked more than at home against some really high quality players. And you're thinking, if they, you know, continue to get those opportunities and the performers they obviously have done over the last few weeks, then they're obviously going to push themselves into that next level of, you know, young players coming through at the club. Because you do kind of think recently, maybe they're, We've obviously had those players that we've been hopeful of, like they are probably Eccles and Burrows and a few others that we would have put in that position. But we probably would have had to have been realistic to say we haven't had the opportunity to see them enough to say that they're definitely going to get to that level where they are going to push through and be those next, that next crop of young players who are going to, you know, perform well for us for a few seasons and then probably going to go for a, you know, hopefully a decent transfer fee. So the opportunity is there, and it obviously clearly appears to be there for them to obviously push themselves into that position.
Yeah, no, exactly. I suppose it's quite good Robbins has got a bit to pick from now. You know, you've got those sort of flyer wing backs, which is probably more like a Dabo, maybe even a Kane.
Yeah.
But then you've kind of got Burrows, which feels like a much more defensive option.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he can't go forward, but he definitely felt very solid. Whereas I think there's probably been question marks over Dabo defensively in recent weeks, you know, before he got that injury. So it does feel like we've got a bit more of a rounded. And maybe that was what it was. You know, maybe Robbins felt that it was going to be, you know, box peppered for 90 minutes from a team that were always going to obviously have a lot of the ball or expect to have a lot of the ball. And maybe he just wanted to have something that was a bit more solid defensively. You know, regardless, I think you're right. Bidwell was quite a traditional sort of wing back or a left back, if you like, as well. So something's probably gone there, but I agree, you know, it's an exciting time to have, you know, some great young players coming through. We've always known that the academy has you know, had a great reputation. It's always brought for a really good batch of players, hasn't it? And it seems that hopefully we've got a few more coming. It would be interesting to see Howley, if we get a chance to see him in maybe some of the cup games, maybe if we, you know, the FA Cup, if we get some maybe easier opposition, it would be good to see if we can get some minutes on the pitch for some of the players like that. Back to the Watford game then, and you know, great opening from us. We seem to really start it really brightly. I thought we looked really up for it. I think we looked well drilled. And we could have been one up through Jokeres. He sort of put that ball over the bar. But we looked really confident. We looked like we had a game plan.
Yeah, I think the first half was another good performance from us. Maybe not obviously in the same vein as the Blackburn game, but it was a very different game in itself. So you have to expect that to some degree. And obviously there's a level of respect for the opposition that we're coming up against, and we're on the road in this game as well. So I thought we, you know, Watford certainly didn't overpower us, didn't look like they were going to run away with the game in that first half. I thought we looked relatively solid, as you say, the likes of Burrows. And I think you got a very good point. You know, maybe there was that level of confidence from Robbins to be able to say he offers something that maybe is a little bit more relevant to this game, that, you know, that suits us a bit more. And he had that confidence to say, no, we're going to give him a go. So, yeah, it was a decent enough first half, obviously, without being too explosive. Jokeres, as you say, had that opportunity. But again, he showcased what he can do, you know, leading the line. You know, some suggestion were that it was a 4-3-3, and it absolutely, you know, for us, it's Jokeres leading the line, and we know that in those situations. Yeah. And but again, he shows why you can, you know, you've got that option to be able to go to Watford and just go with the one striker, but still pose a threat with him. And a couple of times he picked the ball up wide, drifted. He just seems to naturally be able to drift into the middle of the pitch from a wide position without being challenged, and kind of get himself into a threatening area, and, you know, showed his quality to turn a couple of players and get a shot away. And it's just all these things around the actual end product of scoring a goal, which obviously he still does for us solidly as well, just show what a good player he was. And, you know, he looks a threat in this game as well.
Yeah, exactly. It took till the 51st minute for the Sky Blues to take probably what wasn't a shock lead. I think we'd had chances and we'd had enough of the game, but a superb counter-attacking move. You know, first with Palmer moving the ball on out wide, first time cross from Allen that we said, you know, he's been getting into some great spaces, and the big Swede was there to finish it off in front of the Sky Blue fans.
Yeah, well, it was quite surprising actually how easy the move looked in. You know, through the lines, to be honest with you, and probably testament to, you know, to the players more than anything else. It was nicely played into Palmer. He's obviously shown his quality in recent weeks. I know a lot of fans are quite shocked by the fact that Bristol City seemed so happy to let him go, and I don't think there was ever any, you know, lack of belief in his quality as a player. Just he probably got to give the credit to Robbins here, because, you know, he's probably one of those players that certain managers maybe don't have the patience for if he's not producing.
You could say the same for Jokeres, couldn't you? You know, he wasn't given the chance at Swansea, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I can't remember where was he? He was in loan from Brighton. Swansea and Brighton. Sorry, thank you. Yeah, and didn't really get on at Swansea. Was never going to get on at Brighton, but found a manager that has instilled confidence. And I think that's why I was not concerned, but definitely had reservations about Palmer, whether he was going to be the man for the job. Heard he had good feet, you know. Just, I don't know, just really felt like it was one of those players that had perhaps
just never took off, really.
One of those players that we sort of almost settled for in the window. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like we had to get bodies through the door.
Exactly.
And, you know, probably stupidly, naively, questioning Mark Roberts again that he's just getting bodies to make up the numbers, and that's absolutely never the case. Don't get wrong, there's been some stinkers, but generally, you know, he usually gets a lot of these things right, and clearly they've seen something, and the recruitment team have seen something, and it seems like that's starting to come out now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think at the end of the day, realistically, you know, how excited are we going to be off the back of the season where we finished 12th to be signing a player from a team that finished below us in the table who couldn't really seem to get a run of games for them? So I think it's a fair point. I think it's fair to have those reservations of him as a signing because of the fact as well, we didn't really sign that many players overall, and certainly outside of defence, it was pretty much him. So you're kind of always looking at who's going to be the people to come through and maybe help out score some goals and create those opportunities. And when that one player who comes in is, as I say, somebody who's come from a team below us in the table who wasn't even really playing for them, you are going to have those questions. It's just natural. But I don't think there's ever been that question mark over the fact that he's got the ability. Or just maybe then you're thinking, well, why can't he get a run at Bristol City? And I think that probably more than anything highlights the difference between a Nigel Pearson, who's maybe not the most patient manager, maybe hasn't got it in him to get the most out of players, and Mark Robbins, who, as you say, we've got the examples with the likes of Gyökeres and other people in the past, who is the complete opposite and can certainly get the most out of a player. And we're seeing that from him now in certainly consistent passages of play. You know, it's not just one game. He's done that over the last few weeks where he's had opportunities to play. Really nice ball, as you say, out to Allen. I think, again, the key here, complete opposite to Eccles, is the fact that he plays it first time. Because Gyökeres has got the opportunity to get a march and steal an opportunity in behind their defence. Whereas if he takes a touch, they're probably going to get back into a bit more of a line and a bit more shape, and he's certainly not going to be able to get the ball across the defence like that. But then what you have to say is it's fantastic quality from Allen to, you know, when you are taking a ball on like that first time, you lose an element of control on the ball. You're kind of reacting to how the ball comes to you. So to be able to pick Gyökeres's run out so perfectly is really impressive. And it's actually, you know, it's 6 yards out. There's nobody in between him and the goal other than the keeper. It's one you're looking at and you're thinking he should score, but there's still a bit of work to do for Gyökeres. It comes at him, sort of bubbles up, bouncing, and he kind of shows his technique again. It looks a bit messy, obviously, when it goes in, but his technique to get his foot over the ball and kind of like just guide it into the far corner, it's still a decent finish, and one that, while you're thinking you don't expect to see a striker miss from 6 yards out, you know, I think we saw not too long after that an example of where that can go wrong. So it again showcases his quality, and it is, as we say, you know, he's bought himself into a position now where he doesn't need to be scoring every week for us to see the quality that he brings. But as a striker, you also, you know, you're pleased when he gets on the score sheet and gets those goals, because I'm sure for him it's you know, something he wants to make sure he's matching, if not improving on last season. So really, really nice goal all around.
Yeah, and Watford had the ball in the net. On the day, it felt like it was disallowed for offside. Didn't really know, wasn't sure. But looking back now at the replays, it's clearly that it was for a foul and a pullback on McFadden. We give officials and referees and linesmen both on the day at the ground probably a bit of stick, and definitely on this pod as well. I think we've questioned the quality of refs, but it's great to see that the linesman spotted something like that. That, okay, looking back at the replay, it was really obvious because his shirt was being pulled would look about a meter, but it could have easily been missed as well, couldn't it? And also could have been against one of those teams that, I don't know, you know, at home, and could have gone their way. So it was good to see the sort of, I don't know, solidness of the referee doing a good job, I guess, to disallow it.
Yeah, it's one of those situations, you know, everything is really easy to see when you've got God knows how many angles on a replay and it's slowed down to God knows what, 1/100th of a second or whatever of what happens in natural play, but the ball isn't where the foul takes place. It's obviously out wide. So it shows you In those occasions, you know, officials, they obviously take a lot of stick, and a lot of the time, rightly, you know, there's a lot of situations where you say you can see it there in the game, and you kind of wondering how they miss it. But there are also those moments where they do get things right, and nobody else, you know, no fans or anybody else is watching the middle of the pitch to see what happens there. And I think everybody had to look back after the game to kind of to see what had happened. People were talking about, was he offside somehow or whatever happened? And nobody really saw it until after the game. So you're completely right to say it's one of those situations that could quite easily be missed. And you're looking back after the game saying, oh God, it clearly is a foul. But it's probably one of those after the game again, where we talk, how do you, if it had been allowed, how the refs and the officials not seen it and this, that, and the other, where none of us have probably seen it during the game as well. So, while it is clear and obvious when you're watching it back afterwards, when you know where to look and it's slowed down and you've seen it from all these angles, it is good officiating that they've picked that out during the game, certainly with the ball at that point not being where the foul takes place. And it's the right decision, but it's an important one as well, because if we go behind in the game, it completely changes what we need to do from the game, rather than, you know, setting ourselves up to be difficult to score against and then hoping to catch them on the break. We have to obviously go out and try and find a goal there. So it's important that they obviously did get that moment right.
So two fantastic wins against two teams that we will expect to be there or thereabouts come what may. Man of match in this game, Matt?
Again, a few contenders. I'd mention Wilson, because almost more than anything else, it just feels like he deserves to get a bit more of the nod for the fact that he's kept five clean sheets. And, you know, he has had moments where he's had to pull out some saves. He's pulled out a really good save at the end of the game there. Again, this is where I think we know Wilson comes into his own with regards to, you know, his reactions and shot stopping. So keen to give him a mention, but I would give it to Gyökeres again, leading the line so well, causing issues in a game where we wanted to still cause the opposition a threat whilst only having one striker in and obviously taking his goal well. So I would just give it to Gyökeres in this one.
Absolutely. I think I agree with you, Gyökeres, you know, leading the line, everything that was great about us, our hold up play. But again, you could have picked any one of the 11, to be honest. Yeah. I think someone that's probably gone under the radar but had a really good game was Rose. He was really solid yesterday. Just, you know, seemed to mop up everything, put his head in the way, took command at times when he had to. And he's not always done that. I think he's always been a little bit shaky. And yesterday, he certainly looked, you know, with two young lads either side of him, it sounds odd to say, but with two young lads either side of him, he looked the man, if that makes sense.
Very good point.
And he took it upon himself to put his head on everything and was great. McFadden, you know, probably gets a nod just for the fact that he went on a 45-yard mazy run and just kept going and going and going when he was running down the clock. You know, and we don't have to talk about Burrows. What a debut, or full debut from him. Jamie Allen was incredible. I mean, they all were. Yeah. O'Hare, you know, came on. He gives us that. He can carry the ball 30, 40 yards. And we've not had that without him. I think we've had Hamer where he can spray it. We've had Allen's energy where he'll close and put pressure on. But we've not always in the final third had that player that can just keep the ball, run at people and make them make decisions to then open up opportunities for the likes of Allen and Gyökeres. So many contenders, but I think I'd agree with you, Vic. One for the goal and two was just, he just never stopped running. And another really fantastic, well-rounded display.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Okay, well, next up, we've got Wigan on Tuesday. They're obviously feeling sorry for themselves, Matt, at the sort of bottom of the league. And we've leapfrogged them, obviously, recently in recent weeks. I'm going to ask you just to run through a little bit about Wigan to give the listeners at home, you know, a bit of an idea of what we could be up against on Tuesday and perhaps why you can't see anything other than a Sky Blues win.
A little bit of pressure, but I'll give it a go. Yeah, it's been an interesting start for them, actually. obviously another newly promoted team for us to face. It's now all three that we would have faced in the last five games. And it hasn't obviously gone to plan for us in the previous two. So something that we need to obviously keep in mind. But Wigan, as you say, currently sitting in 23rd spot in the table, actually having started relatively well. Yeah. They've obviously turned a bit of a negative corner over the last few weeks, having won one in their last seven. I think it was before the Swansea game this weekend, it was around a five defeats in a row. So they obviously turned a bit of a negative corner from their perspective. It's just 1 point in the last 18 games in total. Was a disappointment as well for them at the weekend, even though Swansea away probably feels like a good point, but that's from a position of being 2-0 up early on in the game. So again, they've managed to turn what probably would have been considered a positive point into quite a negative season. But we do have to respect the form that they've had on the road, which is where they've actually picked up a majority of their points. 14 of the 20 points they've got this season have come on the road. So they do look at different prospects away from home than they do at the DW Stadium. They've picked up decent points at the likes of Norwich, and they've also won at sides that have done all right this season, the likes of Birmingham and obviously Luton, who are quite highly rated now at Championship level. So certainly need to respect them from that perspective. They do have some threats in their team, a few familiar names just in general, the likes of Max Power, Charlie Wyke, who's obviously scored goals in his career previously. James McLean, who seems to, never go away. I don't know how old he is now. He must be pushing into his 40s, but still seems to be able to get himself a game at Championship level. And the big threat really probably at the moment has been Will Keane, who's got seven goals to his name as well. So they do pose a threat, but I think obviously, given the run of form that they're on, and given the run of form we're on, certainly one of those games that we can go into confidently.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the official Twitter page, and they've put up next Latics official at home, and the poster boys are Jack Burrows and Panzer. So I'm not sure if that's any show to who might start on Tuesday. I wouldn't have thought the people on that look after the Twitter account probably know Mark Robbins' thoughts.
Too much influence there just yet. Yeah.
But you'd have to say that on the back of their performances, they deserve to perhaps be in a fairly unchanged side against Wigan. So what way do you see this going then, Matt? Give us a score prediction.
Yeah, I mean, I do think it will be close. They have got threats. They probably are going to go back to that more aerial style of play. So, probably feels like that will suit us. But then we have struggled against teams in recent weeks more so when they've gone to that style of play. So I think it will be a close game, but an important game for us as well. Not too long before the World Cup. Now, these last two games before we have that break, I think it's really important if we can at least pick up 3 points over the next two games would be massive for us. We'll probably consolidate where we are in the league, which would be massive going into World Cup break, considering where we were a few weeks ago. And I think we will get over the line in a 2-1 victory.
2-1. I think someone could get whacked soon. I don't know. Just seemed to be creating chances. Maybe not this evening, but it all feels a bit set
it's
up
coming.
For it. We're on the back of two really good results, and we've had to sort of grind them out. The squad seems to even be more rounded, if that makes sense, with the likes of O'Hare coming back, and Gus, came off after sort of 60, I think, on the weekend. I don't know. I think this could be. I think it will be a comfortable 2-0, but I think it could be even more. Personally, let's hope so, because they're the games, like you say, Matt, that we really need to win.
Yeah.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
Yeah, as Matt alluded to, QPR will be then our final game before the World Cup break. It's expected to be a massive crowd. QPR bringing their, huge following as
a big day out, isn't it?
Yeah, as they seem to do every year, oddly, which is awful because I have to get the train up from London and just be surrounded by them, yeah, both there and back. So I think we'll try and come early and get into the tavern early doors so that we haven't got to be on the train up with them, and try and get the one back that before the police managed to get most of them. That will be what I'm aiming for this Saturday, I think.
Good luck with that one. Yeah, it's one of those games. It's not gone too well for us in recent seasons. Didn't go too well for us last season, and they obviously come into the game after a relatively good start. Well, what you'd probably consider a really good start to the season, but again, not the best recent form for them. They've lost two and drawn one in their last three games. So, from being in a situation where they, largely seemingly sat in the top two for most of the season so far, they have dropped down to fifth. But still, you know, that's probably where or whereabouts they would have wanted to have been at the start of the season. Obviously, a few rumours around their manager as well, Michael Beale. There was talk about interest from Wolves. Whether
that's unsettled a bit.
Potentially.
It seems to be since that. Well, I think they have won since, actually. But I've got a feeling they've definitely dropped in form since that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it has been largely over the last three or four games. So I think they won the first game after pretty much he turned Wolves down. But after that, as I say, they've gone three games without a win in their last three. So potentially it has had a little effect on the squad. Whereas you thought probably it would have had the reverse, because he's, so adamantly said he's not interested in a move to a Premier League side and he's happy with what's going on with QPR. But I don't know, some ways that can affect things differently and maybe put a little bit of pressure on. So hasn't worked out too well for them over the last few games, but they still obviously have that quality running through their side. The likes of Rob Dickey is obviously a talented defender, and he's a goal scoring defender as well. Midfield, they've got Sam Field, who's obviously a player we were keen on in transfer windows gone by, and who looks like a solid midfielder and has kind of established himself as a regular starter for them in that central midfield. And then across the front, they've got real quality, probably one of the best front threes in the division when you look at Chair, Dykes and Willock. So really going to be a threat up front.
Willock's only just come back in, hasn't he, to the fold? Yes. He's been injured, and possibly there's a possibility that could have affected some of the recent performances. I think he looks like he's probably getting up to speed now.
Yeah, he got a goal this weekend, I think, and he's leading the way for them with six in total. So he's a talented player, but then you know we know Chair is obviously a highly touted player as well, and Dykes is somebody who's always going to get you goals. So whereas he is a talented player, that it's difficult to see where the weakness is across that front three. So that is a concern, because there aren't too many occasions this season where we've come up against front threes of this nature.
Like
I think
that.
Exactly. We've probably come up against even better strikers, but lone strikers or
lone
maybe
strikers,
a front,
your Diaz, even it's a, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So it's a little bit of a different proposition, and I don't think we've come up in a situation against a front three with that level of talent. Blackpool almost probably played a front three against us, and it obviously ended up causing us problems, and that certainly isn't
not
as talented
taking anything
as this
away
front
three. from the the defensive performances that we've had on show.
Yeah,
I always do worry about us with teams that like to play in behind, though.
Yeah.
We've seen a few times. I think we saw Blackburn, didn't we, where Britton had a chance that he hit the side netting, but that was sort of clipped, wasn't it? Just over the top, and for some reason, two defenders couldn't deal with that. And I do always worry a little bit about us sort of that in behind, and they're clearly going to be, I watched, would it have been Norwich QPR perhaps the other night? And they sort of cross over. Willock will carry the ball, and Chair will sort of make runs in behind. I don't know. Yeah, they're very dangerous.
It's a very good point. It's hard to know exactly where the threat is going to come from at times. I think with a lot of these other sides that we play, you kind of really establish where the threat might come from, and a certain style of play that you're going to get. Whereas I think with QPR, it's a little bit more varied. As you say, you could have the ball carried you know, really deep from either flank, but they can go a bit more direct, and Dyche can provide that kind of more of a direct threat as well. And, you know, kind of they can switch it around. They can have people coming in from different sides of the pitch and everything else. So that is a concern. I think it's a little bit of a different prospect to what we've maybe faced so far this season, unfortunately. But we know that this defence is massively improved over recent weeks as well.
Could you see Robins trying to fine tune his defence for that sort of threat? Do you think he would change it from the wing backs and the back three, or, you know, I'd be shocked if he did, to be honest. But you are going to want to go man for man on that. It's very difficult to know what he might do, but it does concern me about them getting in behind, I must admit.
Yeah, it's one of them. I've had that question in my mind at points this season, whether certain teams that we've played against might, you know, dictate a slight change in formation, and he's obviously been very steadfast to the formation that he has obviously pretty much had in place since he came back to the club 5 years ago. So I think formation wise, I don't see too much in the way of a change. And obviously we talked about the threat that Watford carried. It was a little bit different. They did have a lone striker, so it was maybe coming from a little bit further back on the pitch, and this might be a little bit more pushed up. So it might lead to
a little bit, don't they, as well?
Exactly. Yeah. So it might
maybe
lead
that's
to,
why he had that sort of, you know, almost energetic wing backs, and maybe that's what he thought. Maybe he was gonna always intend, because, you know, Bidwell did come on and so did Kane, right? So maybe he always intended to get 45, 50, 60 out of the first two, and then make the changes, because he knew it was going to be a bit of a torrid time for them wing backs. Look, you know, looking back, it all seems to be a part of a grand master plan, doesn't it, Watford? And let's hope Robins can do the same against QPR, because, like you say, that front three, it sounds like we're really blowing smoke up their backsides now, but they clearly hold talent, don't they?
Yeah, no, it's born out of kind of obviously what they've done so far this season. We have to respect the fact that they have been up there or thereabouts, you know, so far this campaign. Obviously not coming in on the back of a great result at the weekend, but yeah, we have to respect what they've done this season, and to be fair, over a few seasons as well. You know, Lyndon Dykes has regularly scored goals for a few seasons now, and Chair has been a quality player for a few seasons as well, and Willick still a young player, but he's regularly got goals and caused a threat. So yeah, it's, you know, it is deserved. It is on the back of what they've obviously shown they can do this season in previous seasons as well.
So score prediction, Matt, how do you see this one going?
I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw. I see them scoring goals, as I say, but I can see us, you know, matching up and causing a threat. I think obviously, you know, that they do go all out with those three up front and wingers, and they will push forward. So I think that is going to give us opportunities in behind them as well. And there's obviously always that threat for them. So I can see us scoring goals. It's a big part of this is going to be how clinical we are. And obviously Gyökeres is fantastic at leading the line, and he can score goals, obviously. I think he's going to have a good number of opportunities in this game, and it's about him being clinical and obviously other people coming in and taking opportunities as well. So I think it'll be an entertaining game with the way they set up. Last game, obviously, before the World Cup break as well. If we can go into it with having won the game against Wigan, I think it, you know, we're still obviously going to push to get 3 points against QPR, but it's going to change the dynamic a bit, because 3 points against Wigan is kind of going to secure, I would imagine, us staying around that 14th, 15th position in the table, which, again, going into the World Cup break, if you'd have said that 2 months ago, you'd have, you know, you'd have absolutely taken it every day of the week. So if we can secure the win against Wigan, it maybe frees us up a little bit more to take a few risks and see what we can do. But I expect an entertaining game, and I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw.
Right. I think I'm going to agree with you, actually. I was going to say a draw, and it just seems like there's going to be more goals in it than one all. I think we'd take, if we get a win against Wigan, it'd be nice to go in with maximum points into the World Cup break, but we'd be looking in a solid position if we could take 4 points from the next two. So definitely. That brings us to the end of this week's episode, Matt. Thanks ever so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you.
I've got to say, listeners at home obviously can't see it, but it's I can see you on camera, and it's nice to see that you're repping your Sky Blues Extra Keep Couching t-shirt tonight, which is looking marvellous.
I'm going to go back for my era. I know I'm obviously probably, well, I am the older statesman on the team, so that's why I managed to nab that Houching one, because I think I'm probably the only one who will remember his time to some level. I'm not going to say I was, you know, mid-30s when he was around, but yeah, I remember him to some extent.
Yeah, great. And yeah, no, it's worth mentioning that obviously listeners can log on to the Sky Blues Extra store and pick up a Christmas gift for the 87 Heroes t-shirts that we have on there. Keith Houchin, Gin, Benno, and others. So yeah, do check them out. A great Christmas gift. And also, you know, worth mentioning to listeners that don't forget the Sky Blue Tavern and Dylan's Brewery is open and plays host to the best pre and post match entertainment, with two now home games coming up. Perfect place to go and get some food and drink before the game. And there's also the option of the shuttle bus that will take you from the Sky Blues Tavern to Dylan's in time for kickoff. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. And like I say, if there's anything you want to discuss that we've talked about in this week or any week's episodes, then all you need to do is get in touch on the social media channels using the hashtag SBE Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.